Praise the Lord this morning. If we could turn to the book of 1 Peter, and want to just consider a few thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's quite a weighty chapter when you consider all the contents in it. You know, what it's saying. You know, it's really a chapter showing what God wants to do in the lives of his people. And, you know, you can look in verses 5 and 6, you see how he wants us to put on the garment of humility so he can exalt us. Then verse 7, we're to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. To be sober, in verse 8, be sober and vigilant because of our adversary. In verse 9, we are to resist that adversary in the faith. But really what I want to look at is verse 10, because we can do all these things in the preceding verses, but here is the ultimate purpose. Here is why we do these things. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you'd suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You see, that's the purpose of God. He wants to bring us as believers to that place where we are made perfect. And that really means like just totally complete, not lacking anything, not missing out on anything he wants to do, he wants to give us, he wants to work in us. That's his desire. That's his purpose in our lives. And so I wanted to look at verse 10 with you this morning just to see how he wants to make us complete in him. And one of the first things you see in this verse is it says the God of all grace. He is the God of all grace. That's how he wants us to know him, how he wants to be known as. He's the God of all grace, not of some grace or most grace, but all grace, you know, can be found in him. And grace is kind of twofold. It's divine favor. He showed us favor by even letting us into his family and into his kingdom. But you know, the aspect of grace I think that we need each day is that divine ability. He wants to give us the ability to do his will. And all ability to do his will is found in him. Where we get into trouble is when we try to find our own ability to do his will. That's what causes some of the most trouble in the kingdom of God. People who are trying to do his will in their own ability. Because it usually, it's just not possible. It gets turned off to the right or the left or causes all sorts of trouble. But he is the God of all grace. He wants to give us the ability to do his will. And then he says, who has called us unto his eternal glory. Now we are called unto glory. And Peter, he knew what he was talking about because he had tasted glory. Right? I mean, he had seen it with his eyes. He had been in the glory cloud as the manifest presence of the glory of the Father came upon that mountain, right? The Mount of Transfiguration. You know, Peter, he kind of, in his Peterish responses, said, let's stay here. We'll even make you some booths, you know, so you and Moses and Elijah can stick around a little longer. And then the Father descended in the cloud and, you know, his glory descended. And he said, this is my son. It's my beloved son. Hear him. You know, he knew the glory of God. He tasted it. And so he had glimpsed that. And you know, he's trying to impart that into our hearts, that sense of glory. You know, he's basically telling us, saints, our calling is the glory of heaven upon our lives. That's what God wants us to enter into. You know, maybe we won't experience the full intensity as he did on earth. I mean, he had to because he had something he had to do in just a short number of days. He had to be transformed and, you know, he had that privilege, you could say. But yet we have the same calling. That is our calling as saints. That's our inheritance. We are called to enter into glory. And it's the thought that, you know, that we are to live for that glory, that is worth more than anything we can have on earth, and we do whatever it takes that we can obtain that. Of course, you know, we get little glimpses here and there. We experience the presence of God, but the fullness of that glory comes when we pass from this life into the next, and that's when we'll know we were called unto glory. So we want to make that our purpose. Our calling in life is to enter into His glory and to do those things that are necessary. Well, the thing is, as we read on in the verse, we see what's necessary, right? After you've suffered a while. I don't like to say that's the catch, right? But, you know, that's something we acknowledge, right? It is the catch. It is the thing we have to realize after we've suffered a while. And Peter, again, he knows what he's talking about, right? After you've suffered a while, he knew what it was like to suffer. He had to go through it. But have you ever really wondered why he had to go through such hard times? I mean, maybe you already know the answer. You're pretty smart. But, you know, if thought about that, Lord, why did he have to be openly rebuked like that and suffer such shame? Because don't you think the Lord could have met him later on in life, just after the Lord went up? And I think maybe he could have, right? Maybe he could have met him and revealed it to him in a not so drastic way, you know. But the Lord wanted to use him right away because he is Peter. And upon that rock will I build my church. And so the Lord said, Peter, got some things I got to do in you now because I need to use you now. And so he had to go through an intense, very hard course that brought him low and where he learned the humility of the Lord in a new way. Right? Maybe he could have worked out some of his faults later in life, but God had something for him. He had some glory he wanted him to experience and enter into as the leader of the church. You know, but it transformed his life, didn't it? He was not the same person that day of Pentecost as he was just 50 days earlier, right? When he was a disciple of Christ, he had been transformed because he suffered for a little while. And, you know, thank God we're not all called to go through that level of intensity of those courses, those, you know, trials of the Spirit and so forth. You know, we go through seasons where it gets pretty intense. But, you know, it's after we have suffered a while, that's when we can experience and enter into new levels of the glory of God in our lives. And so that's the purpose, you know, that after we've gone through some things that have stretched us, have tried us, they've worked in us, but it's to make us perfect, totally complete, not lacking anything. And, you know, this is the future tense here. He's saying he is going to make us perfect. It's like that continual process. You know, he's working us at us. He's building in our lives brick by brick, stone by stone. He is making us complete. The more we walk with him, the more time we have in this life to walk with him, the more he's making us complete. You know, back in the days of Peter and Jesus, you know, the strongest buildings were the ones made of stone. They were the ones, you know, they built the temples and palaces out of stone because they were strong. They were mighty. But the Lord wants to do the same thing in our lives spiritually. And Peter talks about this previously in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he compares us to stones. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. He says, you also, as lively or living stones, right? We're not dead, hard, lifeless stones. We're living stones. And we are built. We're being shaped into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that's what God's doing. You know, I think the Father chose him and put the plan was for Jesus to be a carpenter for a reason. He was going to shape us. You know, working with old knotty wood, right? That he has to shape and, you know, shave and sand. And actually, I was reading about the term a carpenter can actually be kind of a catch-all for all sorts of things, stonemason as well. So there's possible he worked with all sorts of things. He could have been, you know, employed to to build buildings and do all sorts of things. You know, so he is ready and willing and able to work in our lives to make us that temple, that holy temple. Because we're living stones, he wants to shape us, to make us complete for the life to come, to enter into glory. You know, we can kind of see an illustration of this from the thought of Solomon's temple. And there was a verse in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. I just want to consider this for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. And it's talking about the building of Solomon's temple. It says, "The house, when it was being built, was built of stone, made ready, and then brought to the site, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool heard in the house while it was building." That's quite something. Now, we've been enduring a building process here. They've been kind of reshaping the, you know, replacing shingles and stuff. I wish that that could be the case, because they've been hammering and drilling and using impact drivers and all sorts of stuff so that you could barely think, right? But that's not how it is in his temple. They just brought the stones. They were already perfectly made, put into place. They weren't hammered on. They weren't chiseled on. They were perfect, and they were put into place and could start to function in as they were prepared to. But, you know, that speaks to us, because that's what God wants to do in our lives. You know, they were all, those stones were all shaped in the quarry and then brought here. Well, this earth is the quarry. We are being worked on here. And sometimes we say, "Lord, why are you hammering me so hard in this life?" It's because he's shaping us. He has from this perspective, you could say, it can be encouraging. "Lord, why are you working so much in my life?" Oh, it's because he has a place that he wants us to be in heaven, and he's shaping us for it. He's molding us for it. He's removing rough things and, you know, things that will keep us from fitting into that slot in heaven that he has for us. We are living stones, and so he's working in our lives. You know, as it says in Revelation 3 and verse 12, we considered this in our Bible study. It says, "Those who overcome, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." You can imagine, it takes a lot of work to shape a pillar, right? All those individual pieces of the column being placed one upon another. Revelation 3:12, the pillar. He wants to make us pillars in his house. And so, considering this thought of being lively stones, living stones, I want to just consider back in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, because he mentions three things that must happen in our lives for this to take place. And so we'll just kind of consider these three things for this rest of the message, I should say. Because he says, if we want to be made perfect, then we must be established, strengthened, and settled in our lives. And so, first thing was establish. And it has an interesting literal meaning. The literal meaning of this word in the Greek, it means to resolutely turn into, you know, and implying a pathway, to turn into and be set in a certain direction, right? And so being established has the thought of being placed somewhere, being turned into a pathway. You know, if we can't be in the pathway, there's no way we can be established, strengthened, and settled. And so there's that thought that he wants to set us in that direction and that course for our life. And that's something we yield to, we submit to, or that it's going to give us trouble from day one, you know, that we yield to him. And I think we've all experienced that the Lord's called us to certain pathways in life and we submit to it, you know, and we yield to him. And that's where we can meet him and where, you know, he can work in us. You know, I remember being a young man and thinking, well, what do I want to do in life? You know, at one point, I wanted to be in the military. You know, I wanted to be an Army Ranger or something like that. But then my parents said, what about Bible school? And I thought, Bible school? I guess so. I'll try one semester. You know, I never came home. But here I am. But, you know, God had a plan that I had never even considered or But once I realized that and I said, okay, Lord, you're in charge, he had a different army for me to join. But he wants to establish us in his way so that we're walking in it. We're cemented in that way. We're following him step by step. You know, that requires a lot of grace. Thankfully, he's the God of all grace. You know, we can't keep in his pathway in our own strength, by our own, you know, endeavors, because we are full of weakness, aren't we? We're full of sin and, you know, full of, you know, things that want to try and get us out of the way. And that's a struggle. Sometimes it can be so discouraging. Lord, I want to do your will, but it's just, there's nothing in me. But as Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 20, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that offense or sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He's the God of all grace. And when we are in sin and weakness, when we have things in us that we're struggling with, there is something available to us that we can reach out for and obtain. It's the abundance of grace. And it's there ready and willing. You know, he's ready and willing. He's not holding it off kind of like the, you know, the carrot in front of the donkey. It's always a little farther out. You know, he's ready and willing to give it to us if we will obtain that grace. You know, but notice how it flows in just the next verse, Romans 5 and verse 21. It says that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there's a real link between grace and righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. And so you could say, here's the step to obtain the abundance of grace. And sometimes we can just wait and say, Lord, I'm going to wait until you give me grace to do this, you know, to do what's right. But, you know, it takes steps of righteousness to obtain grace. Where we say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to obey you. I'm going to walk in your way. I'm going to do what's pleasing to you. I'm going to do the right thing because I know this is your righteousness and I'm going to do my best to be obedient to you. You know, that's how the grace of God begins to flow. You know, we start taking those steps in our weakness and we're stumbling and we're kind of, you know, fumbling around on the pathway. And all of a sudden, we start to get invigorated and we become stronger as we walk with him, because the abundance of grace is there as we begin to walk in the pathway and the words that he's given to us. But we reign that grace would reign through righteousness, through doing what is right in God's sight. You know, grace will flow so that we can do the will of God. And so we are established in the pathway. But then it says we're strengthened. We're strengthened. And this word strengthened, means to be strong, right? But there was a word associated with it, means to invigorate. We are invigorated as we walk with him. That's what he wants to do. You know, God wants to bring us to the place where we're walking on his pathway. And yes, we've had our struggles. We've had areas of difficulty and weaknesses. And we always have those till the day we die. You know, there's always an area that he's causing us to work in and to become, you know, greater and greater in his kingdom and so forth. But he wants to bring us to that place where we are invigorated, you know, where we're walking and we realize, hey, God's given me the victory in that area. You know, I've become stronger in him. I've been strengthened. He's strengthened me to overcome in this area. And we walk in new strength. You know, that's what he desires to do in area after area, line by line, here a little, there a little, right? In different areas, he's just invigorating us, making us stronger and stronger. You know, the Apostle John talked about this when he was talking about, you know, young men and fathers, you know, those who are just increasing in their level and their walk with the Lord. But something he said about the young men, and this is in 1 John 2, in verse 14, 1 John 2:14, it says, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome. You know, God wants to strengthen us so that we overcome and we become overcomers. You know, that was the name that the Lord gave us for the youth group up in Waverly. You know, we're like, Lord, what do you want to do in these youth, these young people? And it was this verse was just quickened. You have overcome. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us overcomers, more than conquerors. And so he strengthens us. And, you know, as we walk in his way, he invigorates us with strength as we follow him. You know, he wants to do that work of strength where before we had in trouble kind of resisting the enemy. You know, I mean, we struggle in an area. It's like, man, this is such a hard fight. But then something happens. The more we walk with God and we're faithful just to follow him, you know, before we had trouble resisting the enemy, now it's a difference. There's a change. We've been invigorated to overcome in that area. That we're now, you know, it no longer dominates us, but we dominate it. Maybe it's still there, right? And it could rise up if we let it. But we're walking in the strength of the Lord, and we are dominating that thing in our lives. You know, that's what David did. That's what set him apart from all the previous rulers in Israel. You know, not just the kings, but the judges and so forth. Israel had always been under tribute to one nation or another, hadn't they? And a judge would come along for after a while and help them out, and then they get under tribute again. But David came, and he put them under tribute. Right? They came under his authority. He dominated those sinful nations. You know, that was the heart of David. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, sometimes we can have trouble in an area that, man, this thing just dominates me. And so I'm going to cry out for grace. Lord, strengthen me that I can overcome. Because that's his purpose, that's his desire, that we'll overcome. And that was Paul's prayer for the church. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He wants to strengthen us with the might of his Holy Spirit so that we can overcome the wicked one. And so Paul says we are to do those things. He goes on and says we are to do those things that will strengthen us, that will cause the might of the Spirit of God to enter into our hearts and fill us. You know, some of the things that we are to do, you know, things that edify us. You know, he says in later on in Ephesians 5:19 that we sing in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, worshiping the Lord, we speak in tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians, we edify ourselves, we build us up. You know, that we do whatever it takes that the strength of the Lord comes into our life in the fullness, because it will strengthen us to walk and make us overcomers. You know, John brings that another aspect out. He says, you are strong and the word of God abides in you. That's what sets those young men apart from the little children. The word of God abides in you. You know, when the word abides in us, it's our source of direction and guidance. It's our rock. And everything we do in life, every decision we make is based on that, upon the word. And so that we become strengthened to go in the right way. We become invigorated to dominate what used to dominate us. And then the last thing that Peter talks about, he says, we are established, we are strengthened, and then we are settled. And settled means to, you know, obviously to become set in a place. It really means to be stable and secure. Kind of like having a strong connection to the ground. You know, kind of like a building that's built upon the rock. It's built upon the bedrock. And that's not going to be moving anywhere. And so God wants to bring us to that place where we are so grounded that in him, in his ways, that we are immovable. Nothing will move us out of his way. And you get that sense of, you know, people who've been walking with the Lord and they've just kind of dedicated their lives to walk with him. You know, I just think that with like Pastor Bailey and, you know, the board members and Pastor, you know, different ones, they've been walking with the Lord. It's like, you kind of know whatever comes into their life, that's not going to move them. They're just so grounded in God. God, they've been settled into the ways of God that it doesn't matter what hurricane comes. You know, of course, it affects them. They're human, but yet their ways are so set in God. And that's what he wants to do in our lives, that no matter what happens along the way, we are settled in him. And he wants to do that. Of course, that takes time. It takes, you know, that lifetime of walking with him, of him working in us and strengthening us and so forth. You know, even in the natural, when Jesus came to the temple that was being built there, it had been being built for 46 years, right? It wasn't just a new thing. It wasn't just, well, let's build a new temple. We'll have it done in, you know, 2 to 5 years, kind of like today, get a building project. I mean, even like a sky rise, you can put it up in 5 years. But, you know, a temple takes time. There's a lot of cutting and shaping and sanding, you know. But when it's done, it will stand. It will stand the test of time. I mean, there are some stone buildings that have been around since they're thousands of years old. They stand. I mean, you know, unless someone tears it down, but they stand. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives, to be settled in his ways. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about a building that will stand the test of time. Matthew 7 and verse 24. It says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." Here's a wise man. Because he hears these sayings of mine and he does them, he will become settled in me. He'll build his house upon a rock. You know, that's really what separates those who are settled from those who are not. They've learned to hear these sayings of mine, you know, of the Lord. Not my sayings, but the Lord's sayings. To hear his sayings and do them. You know, when we hear his word and we follow it, it sets us upon the rock. And there's an eternal sense in this as well, is that it establishes us for eternity. You know, he wants us to be stable upon his rock, upon his, yes, his word, but upon his words to us for our life. That if we are settled ourselves to following his word, we will be settled in him. We will be established in him. And so he wants us to be set upon his rock. But then, you know, when we are stable, that helps other people to find stability, right? You know, it's always nice to have someone who's stable around, because when you're going through instable and unstable times, you can kind of grab a hold of something that's not moving. And that's a protection for you. You know, you can pull them out of danger in a storm and they can find a safe place because they found stability. And the Lord wants to do that in us, you know, for other people. One last verse. You know, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, Daniel 12 and verse 3, speaking of the last days, in Daniel 12 and verse 3, he says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." I think that's really the result. That's the outcome of those who are established, strengthened, and settled in God. Right? They will shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they'll turn many to righteousness. They'll shine as the stars forever. The stars we see in this sky, they will eventually go out. They have a long lifespan, you know, billions of years, but eventually they're going to go out. They're going to extinguish. But those who shine as the stars for God will shine forever. It's kind of an interesting thought, right? I mean, because when we compare ourselves and our lifespan to stars, it's like we are nothing. But do you know that we will shine longer than any star in the sky, even though they're shining for many billions of years? But that's the result of righteousness, of walking with him, of being established and strengthened and settled in his ways, will shine for all eternity. And so we want to allow God, the God of all grace, to come and to have his way, right? To come and fashion us as living stones, do a little polishing, a little shaping, right? A little working in our lives. Because when we get to heaven, the work that's been done, that determines our place. And so we want to say, okay, Lord, I need some work. You know, we can be honest with the Lord. Lord, I need some work done. I want to be that stone. I want to be that pillar. Take these rough places off. You know, smooth me over. I'm not sure how that works with smoothing stone. If there's any stone masons around here. But you know, there's things he wants to do to make us perfect, to be in his temple, right? To be a part of his building in heaven, to be living stones. And so let's allow the master builder to come and shape our lives to do the work of establishing, strengthening, and settling us so that we'll be complete, totally finished, right? We don't want to look good on one side, but unfinished on the other side, but that we're complete, a living stone, a pillar in his temple for all eternity. And Father, we just thank you for your plans and your purposes, Lord. Thank you that you've called us to be stones set apart for your use, Lord, for your temple, Lord. You're calling us unto an eternal weight of glory, O God, Lord, to enter into that glory, Lord, even as you've experienced. Lord, you want us to enter into that glory as well, Lord. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. You're not just calling us as servants, but, Lord, as sons and daughters of glory. Lord, do that work, we pray. Lord, we just acknowledge our weakness. And, Lord, there's areas in our lives where we need to be polished and cut and made new, O God. Lord, we just invite you, even today, to come and do that work and that you'd speak to us. Lord, would you give us grace? You're the God of all grace, O God. Give us grace to do those things that are necessary, to do those things that are right in your sight, that you could work in us, we pray. And we just thank you, Lord. Be with each one, we ask. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.